ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ 1936 ವ್ಯವಹಿತ್ ಪುತ್ನಾ ಮುಖಂ ನಿರೀಕ್ಷ ಸ್ವಜನವಧಾ ವಿಮುಖಸ್ಯ ದೋಷ ಬುದ್ಧ್ಯಾ ಕುಮತಿ ಮಹರದ ಆತ್ಮ ವಿದ್ಯಯಾ ಯಶ್ ಚರಣತಿ ಪರಮಸ್ಯ ತಸ್ಯ ಮೇಸ್ತು. ಸೊ ವ್ಯವಹಿತ್ ಪುತ್ನಾ ಮುಖಂ ನಿರೀಕ್ಷ, the soldiers, Mukham Niriksha, and on seeing their faces, Mukham Niriksha, on beholding the faces of whom, this is actually referring to Arjuna and his response to things, Vyabahit Pritana Mukham Niriksha. Sujan Vimukha, so the previous verse stated that how on the request of Arjuna, Krishna took the chariot in between the two armies, and this verse continues that theme and states that when he took the chariot thus, at that time Arjuna saw the faces of his relatives. When he saw the faces, Swajana Vadhat Vimukhasya Dosha Buddhya, Swajana Vadhat, thinking about killing his own relatives, Vimukhasya, he felt, no, I cannot do this. And thinking that I cannot kill my relatives, what did he do? Vimukhasya dosha buddhya. Dosha buddhya, recognizing the fault of killing his own relatives. Kumatim aharat atma vidyayash. Kumatim, recognizing the misdirected consciousness of those who wanted to kill their, to assert power, and who had abused their wife, who had exploited them, who had misappropriated all their wealth, who had exiled them. The Pandavas were basically entirely justified in taking assertive action against the Kauravas, but still they had inherent kumati. But unfortunately, not recognizing all, not focusing on their atrocities, instead Arjuna focused primarily on his own, on the fact that they were his relatives, and he thought, how can I kill them? In such a situation, kumatim aharat atma vidyaya yash. So kumati, when his consciousness was misdirected, at that time it was to him that Atmavidyaya is knowledge of the soul, was given to him by Aharad, and his intelligence was restored, his illusion was dissipated, as Arjuna himself says, Nashto Moha. So Nashta Aharad, Aharad, Hara means to take away, to eradicate, to destroy. Atma vidyaya yash, giving him spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the Atma. Charanati paramasya tasya mestu, and to that Lord who is supreme, who is paramasya, and to him, to his lotus feet, charanarati, his feet, let my attraction be. So here Vishwanatha Thakur makes an observation in his, not just in this prayer, but in the overall Bhishma prayers, he says that actually, because Bhishma is lost in a trance, and although he is seeing Krishna in front of him, then he is no longer seeing Krishna alone. So he is referring to Krishna as the absolute truth, and thus he refers to Krishna in the third person, not the second person. So through this, third person address reminds us that we should not consider, reduce Krishna to simply another human being, as might be the temptation when we see that, oh, he is also there in the midst of things, and he is also not able to do that he also seems to have appeared and disappeared in the finite time. He's situated in a finite place. So that sort of consideration might make people think that he's an ordinary person. But in his last moments, Bhishma, by offering his prayers in a third person, demonstrates that he's aware of Krishna's position, not just position in terms of his proximity to him, but position also means in terms of who Krishna is. And for that, in that sense, his referring to Krishna in third person conveys his clear consciousness that he's not overwhelmed by any kind of negative fear or agony so much that he can't think clearly. No, he's thinking very clearly here, and with such clear thinking he is describing things over here. So text 37. Swanigamapahaya mat pratigyam ritamadhikartum avapluto rathastha dhritarath charano abhyaya chaladgur harinivahantum ibham gato tariyah. So it is said here, swanigamam apahaya mat pratigyam. Swanigama is by his own truthfulness, apahaya, thus removing mat pratigyam. He gave up his own word to protect my word. Ritam adhikartum avaplito rathastha. Ritam adhikartum. He gave off his chariot. They just made word to adhikartum ratham avaplito rathastha. He made my word true, and for that sake he was ready to even falsify his own word. Avaplito rathastha. He got out of his chariot. Dhritarath charano abhyaya chaladgur. Dhritarath charana. He took the ratha charana. Ratha charana means the chariot wheel. So abhyaya chaladgur. He raced chaladgur, crushing the earth as he was racing towards me. Harir ivahantum ibham gato tariyah. Harir ivahantum. For the sake of killing me, ibham gato tariyah. He gave up his covering cloth. His cloth fell away. Uttari. Krishna had taken a vow that he would not, swamigamo, that he would not raise weapons. He would be a non-combatant in the war. But when Arjuna was fighting half-heartedly and Bhishma was fighting wholeheartedly, and in that unequal combat, Arjuna's life would have been endangered. At that time, putting aside all other considerations, Bhishma, for the sake of protecting Arjuna, Krishna actually agreed. Krishna got off the chariot, and because he was a charioteer, he did not have any weapons with him. But he immediately found and picked up a weapon. And with that weapon, he started attacking Bhishma and challenging Bhishma and overpowering. He is charging towards Bhishma. It is described that he just raced towards Bhishma. Dhritaratha Charana. And holding on to chariot wheel. Because he did not have any weapon and still he wanted some weapon by which to stop Bhishma. So he looked around and saw a chariot wheel. Now the usage of a wheel is significant because one of Krishna as Vishnu, is most cherished weapon is the Sudarshan Chakra. He has a sword also. He has various weapons, but his weapon as the Sudarshan Chakra is his most celebrated weapon. So when he saw the chakra, he immediately ran toward the chakra because that was his normal weapon. And now, why was it that he did not get his Sudarshan Chakra itself? He was so Krishna was so filled with anxiety that he didn't think of summoning Sudarshan Chakra, but somehow, as he remembered, a chakra could be used as a weapon. So he looked around, saw a chakra. He had jumped off the chariot and he had just rushed towards the another chariot's broken wheel that was lying on the ground, and he picked it up and he started rushing towards Bhishma. Now a chariot wheel is not a particularly small thing to carry. It may not seem to be very big, but it is not very small either, and to carry it requires effort. And he exhibited that effort, was willing to do that exertion, because he recognized that he wanted to save his devotee's life. And Hari Ribahantum, and he gives Bhishma gives an example, just like a lion may want to kill Ibham, an elephant. So just as a lion may want to kill an elephant, similarly Bhishma came to kill me, Gata Uttariyaha, and he was charging towards me. His Uttari fell away. So all this conveys the intensity, the urgency, the ferocity of the attack. It was not that this was just some play or some drama. It's a matter of life or death, and Krishna was charging towards him. And as Krishna kept charging, Bhishma just watched on, amazed. In fact, not just Bhishma, all the warriors in the war field watched amazed as they saw this extraordinary sight. Now, text 38, Shita Vishi Khato Vishi Nadamishaha Yataj Pariplita Tatai No Me Prasabham Abhisesar Madhavadhartham Sabhavatume Bhagavan Gatir Mukundaha. Sheet Vishik, with sharp arrows, Hato Vishirna Damshaha, sharp arrows, the Vishirna Damshaha, the armor that he has been wearing that had been scattered apart. Shataj Paripluta Atatai No Me. So he was covered with blood, and like Atatai, treating me like an aggressor, he charged towards me. Prasabham, in an angry mood. Abhisasar Madhvadhartham. Abhisasar, with great force, with great power. Madhvadhartham, for the purpose of killing me, he charged towards me. Sabhavatume Bhagwan Gatir Mukundaha. So, and to that Lord Mukunda, who charged thus towards me, I offer my respects. I let my consciousness be attracted towards him, and not towards any other thing in this world. So, Subhavatume Bhagavan Gatir Mukundaha. Here, what is the significance? The scene which started in the previous text is being continued here, and in the previous text there was no actually aspiration, there was no prayer, there was just description over there. So the description, because this whole sequence is a sequence of prayer, so the description there is complemented with the aspiration here, that let my consciousness be attracted toward that Lord. Normally, warriors, ordinary, everybody actually, not just warriors, you know, if anybody has a memory of some murderer trying to rush towards them to kill them, they are very fearful of such a murderer, and they do not and they try to want to get rid of those memories. So especially even battle-hardened warriors, battle-hardened soldiers, they may get something like a PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, when they remember the ghastliness of war. That might make them also want to do all that they can to avoid the war. And one part of doing all that they can means that they want to avoid the memory. Now that the war is over, still the memories are carrying on with them, and they want to avoid the memories. So that is what is the big challenge for those who are trying to fight a war. And normally no one wants to remember the ghastliness of the war, and certainly nobody wants to remember somebody else rushing towards them to kill them. Unless, of course, if they somehow in a heroic way trumped that oncoming assailant and defeated and killed them, that's different. But otherwise, nobody wants to on their own remember the sight of somebody rushing towards them with a murderous intent. Yet here we see Bhishma acting like that and charging towards Bhishma, remembering Krishna charging towards him, and Bhishma saying that, "This is what I want to remember, O Lord. Please let my attraction be towards this form." This declaration reveals Bhishma's transcendental situation, where Bhishma is aware that Krishna is no ordinary person. Bhishma is aware that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and being the Supreme Lord, he is whatever he does is for the well-being of all living beings, and thus he is not disturbed. Thus he is not rather than being disturbed or agitated or struck with fear, he's struck with longing. Oh, this Lord is so wonderful. Let my attraction be to such a Lord. Let me be attracted to such a wonderful, wonderful Lord. It is that prayer that is permeating his consciousness. And that's what we see over here. So Bhishma goes on and concludes his prayer. Vijayaratha Kutumba Atta Totre Kutumba. The word Kutumba means family. Kutumba also means that which one protects. One is expected to protect one's family. So Vijayaratha Kutumba Atta Totre, while trying to protect his, striving to protect the chariot of Arjuna, that means first of all the protection has to be at multiple levels. One is that he shouldn't let the horses themselves go out of control. Secondly is that if somebody else is attacking, he has to protect, has to parry the attack by moving the horses, by moving the chariot. So that in this way he protects. Jayaratha Kutumba Atta Totre. In his hands he had a whip with which he was trying to protect. Dhuta hai Rashmini Tachri Yekshaniye. Dhuta hai controlling the horses thus. Rashmini, the ropes of this way, Shriyakshaniya. He was holding the ropes and he was looking very beautiful. So, Krishna, whatever he does, he is always a majestic, captivating presence. Even when he was fighting. Even at that time, no one was acting like a charioteer, not even fighting actually. They say a warrior is like a hero, but to say the charioteer is a hero, the Shriyakshani, he was beautiful to look at. Bhagavati Ratarastume, Mumurshor. Let my attraction be towards you, O Lord, Mumurshor. I wish to die, I am about to die. Yamihanirikshata gata swarupam. Those who die, beholding him, they attain their swarupa. So Bhishma is not just saying, I am here to die. In his prayers also he is saying, I want to die. There is no better setting in which to leave one's body. And I want to leave my body in this present setting by which I can attain the Supreme. They attain swarupa, one's own eternal constitutional position. Whatever is one's eternal relationship with the Lord, one attains one's position in that eternal relationship, and that is life's perfection. Text 40. Lalit gati vilasa val guhasa pranay nirikshana kalpita rumanaha krutamanu kutavatya unmadandhaha prakriti magan kilayasya gopavadvaha. So lalit gati vilasa val guhasa. So now Bhishma Pitama goes from the immediate settings where he has remembered the Lord to other devotees who ecstatically remember the Lord, and in that connection the other devotees, he talks especially about the gopis who have remembered the Lord in an extraordinary way. And he described that the gopis, when they were separated from Krishna, when Krishna left them in the forests of Vrindavan during the right in the middle of the Rasleela, at that time the gopis went mad with love for him, and in their maddened state, what did they do? Kutam anukutavatya unmadandha. Kutam anukutavatya. They were imitating him. Some of them were. One of the gopi was acting like Kali, the other was acting like Krishna, and Krishna was dancing on Kali. Another gopi was imitating the pastime of Krishna, lifting Govardhan. Another gopi like that. They were all performing various pastimes. And this way they were maddened with anxiety for Krishna. And they were maddened with absorption in Krishna. Their anxiety was, why I have been separated from Krishna. Their absorption was how wonderful it is to have the opportunity to think of Krishna, to have the opportunity to be absorbed in Him. Prakriti magan kila yasya gopavadvaha. Gopavadva. The gopis like this, they actually started manifesting the characteristics of Krishna. It was not just that they were imitating Krishna, but they were manifesting all signs of utter total transcendence in their imitation of Krishna. So here we see the first direct reference to the gopis in the Bhagavatam. Indirectly, the Vrajavasis are of course are mentioned in 1.8.31. Goptya adhidevai katagasidamata vadyati dashyashukridanya sambramaksham vaktram niniya bhaya bhavanayas tasya samam vimohayati bhirapiyad vibheti. So it is stated over there that the gopis, that gopi, there the god gopi refers to Yashodamai, that Yashodamai tried to discipline Krishna when he had stolen the butter. So this is so that is the first reference to the gopis, but this is not a reference to the gopi, this is a reference to, this is not a reference to, although the word gopi can refer to the elderly gopi, there are the young gopis, there it refers to the elderly gopi Yashoda, and here it refers to the younger gopi, that is, younger gopis, Radharani and others. And it's interesting that Bhishma Pitama is remembering Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. Bhishma has been a celibate, but just being a celibate doesn't mean that he doesn't appreciate the exaltedness of the level of devotion of the gopis. And knowing and appreciating the exaltedness of their devotion,
he
states that
he's remembering them, and it's also significant what he's remembering about them. The whole mood of the Bhagavatam is a mood of devotion and separation, that the sages Sutta Goswami and sages of Naimisharanya, they are remembering Krishna's pastime. Krishna has just departed. The Mahabharata war is over and Parikshit has also departed. So it's not a very long time. And so such a momentous event has happened. The Mahabharata is over and the whole mood of the Bhagavatam is remembrance, is recollection and separation. And accordingly, Bhishma is also remembering the gopis in their state of recollection and separation. When they were separated from Krishna, just when they expected to be united with him. And Krishna had called them. Krishna had called them and they had expected that now is the time when we will unite with Krishna. That was the very time when Krishna departed from them. And what happened? They lost themselves completely in absorption Krishna. And thus they found their Lord in the innermost in the innermost core of their hearts and in the absorption of their consciousness in Him. So, Bhishma Pitama is also desiring to be absorbed as in the Lord, and appropriately he remembers the Lord in that mood. So, text 41. Muigana Nrupakurya Sankule Antaha Sadasi Rishthira Rajasuya Esham Aranamupe the Ekshaniyo Umadrushi Gochara Esha Aviratma.
Now Bhishma is remembering another glorious moment,
one of the cherished memories of his life. And what is that cherished memory?
Murigana,
among all the sages, Nrupavarya Sankule Antaha Nrupavarya. Well, all the great kings were assembled as Yudhishthira Rajasuyesham at the time of the assembly of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Arhanam upape the ikshani, the proper worship, arhanam, was offered to you, upape the, you received, O Lord.
That Lord received
ikshani, that was indeed worth seeing. Namadushi gochara esha aviratma. Let my consciousness move towards Him. Madrushi gochara esha aviratma. That Lord who is transcendental, who was present, who was honored thus at that time, that Lord is now present before me. And let my consciousness go towards Him. You know, for a person, often for people, their most cherished memory is their crowning glory. Maybe if somebody wins an Olympic gold medal, for an athlete to win the Olympic gold medal, for a cricketer to win the Cricket World Cup, these are the most cherished memories for those players. But see, there's a coach, and the coach sees one's student winning an Olympic gold medal. The special joy in that, especially if there's a very thick bond of love between the coach and the student, or say a parent and the child wins a Olympic gold, the parent's joy is extraordinary. So Bhishma in his prayers has not even once referred to any of his moments of glory. No, how he had defeated even Parashuram, how he had combated with and defeated all the kings in the world on several occasions, how he was the foremost archer, the foremost warrior who reigned unchallengeable for a long time. Bhishma is not remembering any of those moments of his own glory. Instead, he is remembering the moments of the Pandavas' glory. And it's actually, if you go deeper, Rajasuya Yagya was at one sense the glorification of Yudhishthira Maharaj, but in another sense, it was the glorification of Krishna, because
just when Yudhishthir had been established as the king of the world, at that time he chose to glorify Krishna as the king of the world by having him offer the Agra Puja, and in this way he demonstrated for the whole world to know that it is Krishna who is the greatest, that it is Krishna who is the Lord of all living beings, that Krishna who is the master of all. And for Bhishma, who loved Krishna so much, this is a treasured memory to see one's beloved Lord being recognized and worshipped as the greatest of all beings. And thus Bhishma is remembering that precious memory of the glory, of the glory that Krishna was bestowed on Krishna as appropriately, perfectly. In fact, the perfection of all glory is to be offered to the Lord who is all glorious. The last verse here, text 42. Tamimamaham ajam sharir bhajam rudhirudhishtitamatmakalpitanam pratidishamivanaikadhar kamekam samadhigatosmi vidhutabhedamoham. Tamimam aham ajam sharir bhajam. That Lord is unborn, but that Lord who manifests in a form. And that Lord, Rudhirudhishtitam Atmakalpitanam, who is situated in the hearts of all living beings and who manifests in the heart according to the conceptions of people, Pratidrishyam Vanai Kadhar Kamekam. Yes, sir, the sun always exists but manifests in our appearance at certain times. Similarly, O Lord, you manifested in the form before me. Samadhigatosmi vidhutabhedamoha. Samadhigatosmi. Now I am going into samadhi to become absorbed in that Lord. I am going beyond all dualities of good and bad, all dualities of appealing and repelling, and all such dualities. I want to lose myself in absorption in the Lord. And this is what I long to do. Vidhut bheda moha. So here, in one sense, that is, he doesn't conclude with any prayer. He concludes with glorification and expression of intention. He glorifies that how glorious is the Lord who is thus, who is present, who is transcendental and yet who manifests in the heart and who can be worshipped by people in different ways. And to that Lord, I now lose myself in samadhi. So there is sometimes assertions are used to create particular frames of mind. And here Bhishma Pitama is using an assertion after expressing his glorification. He is saying, now I am going into samadhi, now I will be lost in him. And this, with this intention of absorption in the Lord, this extraordinary set of prayers ends. Thank you.